watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka.
Last time we talked, everything was good in the fantasy world, and today everyone is on the DL or getting hit in the face with a baseball bat. It was an ugly weekend.
I looked at the notes this morning, and there's like 600 notes of just bad things coming.
It was it was terrible. Yeah. It was like an epidemic.
It stinks.
Well, good morning, Herc, and good morning, Scott White. How are you guys doing today?
That was good timing, me accepting the Braun trade. I'll be benching him for the first week with him on my roster.
Just consider it a 3-game suspension, and now we're even.
Okay.
Well, we traded Braun?
I traded Braun for Carlos Gomez to Scott. We didn't trade Braun.
Oh, okay.
Different league.
I was going to say, I missed this. You didn't keep me in the loop.
Come on. I wouldn't make a trade without telling you. Come on, Herc. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Azer, Michael Herkeman, Scott White. Follow us on Twitter, at CBS Scott White, at CBS Herc.
You got it.
H-U-R-C. At Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And at Al Melk, CBS, M-E-L-C. Al Melk, CBS. We've got Colin McHugh, most added, most dropped, which includes Colin McHugh. Your email's at fantasybaseball at CBSI.com. No questions so far about Colin McHugh. But, wow, he was pretty good.
I pulled a great quote about Colin McHugh when we get to the Colin McHugh segment, so.
All right, fine. Well, we'll save it.
All right.
Here's email of the day number one. Comes from Tyler Hansen. Congratulations are in order. Is that right, Herc?
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, buddy. What happened this weekend?
I graduated from FIU with my MBA. So.
Outstanding.
Thank you. I appreciate it, fellas.
So as a result, today is Herc's last day with the company. He's going into a new field tomorrow.
No, my prize is I get to podcast with Adam and Scott Monday morning.
There we go. Well, then, congratulations.
You wouldn't have been able to do that without an MBA, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam and I.
It opened the door, literally, to me getting in this podcast room.
Right.
All right, you'll have to tell us all the business stuff. Email today number one is from Tyler Hansen from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says, "Dear Jack Bauer, Tony Almeida, and Chloe O'Brien." I can only assume those are all 24 characters.
They don't watch the show, so.
Yeah.
All I know is the Jack Bauer, so yeah.
Could you do a worryometer for Carlos Santana? There are a lot of pitchers who are batting better than his current average of 122 with a 301 on base and a 195 slugging percentage. Worryometer on Carlos Santana.
Wait,
have you done the worryometer yet?
No, is it 1 to 10? And
it's 0 to 10. 10's a drop.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't drop Carlos Santana because he'll get picked up off waivers. And if you made it this far, that'd be just a bad move. But my worryometer is right in the middle at 5 because, you know, he said the moving around of positions. And I don't care if he says this groin injury is not a problem. I think it's a huge problem. And I think all these things mixed in, bad April. Let's see how he does a few more weeks, but definitely there's some worry here.
I'll go 3. I think those worries are really just excuses because people are asking him what's wrong, and so he has to say something. I think it's just a slump.
Okay.
And he's had slumps like it before. It's just magnified that it's the beginning of the season. Not really worried. At least he's getting on base. I mean, shoot, his on-base percentage is more than twice his batting
average.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. Tweet of the day number one is from Jeff Spin. At what point are we concerned about George Springer?
Not yet. It's been, what, 2 weeks about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
start or sit?
Well, I'm sitting him. I'm worried enough to sit him. And that's in my 5 outfielder leagues where I'm doing that, so. I guess that is a shift from the very beginning when we were pretty much starting him right out of the gate. But you're talking about a guy who struck out as good as he was in the minors. He struck out every third at bat, and there was the potential going to the majors that that would be a weakness pitchers could exploit. And at least right off the bat, they are. But you know, we've seen more talented players than him struggle for longer than this to begin their careers and turn out fine. So. You wouldn't want to panic with him. I think I did move him down slightly in my outfield rankings, so check those out to see what would be appropriate trade value and make sure you're not selling low on him.
Now that you've got your MBA, you're going to hit the rankings a little harder?
I do it every once a week. You know, I move things around. But I'm wearing my UConn shirt today in support of George Springer. It's kind of interesting, being a UConn fan, I was the one at the beginning that when he got called up, I had the most realistic expectations of, I don't know if he's going to produce a top outfielder right away. I said, this guy is still going to be a rookie. He's probably going to have some struggles. It's good he's getting him out of the way early, I think, because later in the season, that's when you really want him to be striving, especially if you're headed towards the playoffs.
Right.
So it'd be foolish for them to send him down because, the Astros aren't going to go anywhere. He needs to get his at-bats. I think he's too good a talent. He'll turn it around.
We've got some big closer news coming up. This Joe Smith has taken over for Ernesto Friere. Scott keeps picking up Hector Rondon, which makes me be like, what did I miss here? So we'll talk about that. Jason Grilley's on the DL. But I think we've waited long enough. It is now time to discuss Colin McHugh. Tweet of the day number 2 is from J.J. Cabrera. He says, "Dear Porkchop, Roger, Skeeter, and Patty."
Yeah, throw the fourth name in there for Herc.
Where's Doug?
Am I Patty?
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe he's Doug.
Obviously.
We're Doug's friends.
All right.
Who's a better ad? Roger. Colin McHugh or Tanner Roark? Better ad.
Adam, take this one. Who'd you pick up last week?
Well, for us.
In the podcast league.
Tanner Roark.
There you go.
But yesterday, Colin McHugh. I've actually put in waiver claims for both. Oh, no. I put in waiver claims for both of them, and I prioritize Roark.
Would you like me to read the quote?
I don't really like Roark all that much.
He just threw a shutout.
I know, but it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
It was against the Padres. Padres starts all right. Do not count.
Well, McHugh's first start was against the Mariners. You counting that one?
Not really. Yeah, because look how many strikeouts the guy's getting. Look, obviously I prioritize Roark over
okay.
him. But this, right. is what, this is what happened. So yesterday... I see the start by McHugh. I'm just like, what? Because I remember, obviously, Bo Porter said he was a pitch-to-contact guy when he had mm-hmm. his 12 strikeout game against the Mariners. And then yesterday he gets another 7 strikeouts against the A's, and he's got a .59 ERA. So I was reading about it in the Houston Chronicle, and apparently, I don't know if it was his pitching coach or whatever, but somebody was saying he was a sinker baller in spring training. And he's a different pitcher now. And I don't see how that's possible. It's only been a month. He didn't change his whole arsenal. He doesn't throw hard. He's a 90-mile-per-hour thrower. He's just throwing a lot of strikes, and it seems fishy to me. I don't know if it's the right word. It seems fluky to me. So I'm not all in on Colin McHugh, but I said to myself, I don't want to be the idiot who sits there and doesn't pick up Colin McHugh when he has a chance.
See, you're not an idiot, though, and it's because Josh Donaldson, ace third baseman, had this to say about Colin McHugh. He was good. Good for him. Stuff-wise, I think he's okay.
Right.
I don't think he was anything special, but he changed speeds well and pitched to his game plan.
That's what I read, too. But then right. I read a whole article about it, and it's just he's a sinker baller. He was, anyway. He is supposed to be a pitched contact.
A, I'm glad you're reading. That's a good thing. So,
but I appreciate it.
B, come on. This guy's had chances before, and some guys come up at some point, and they start pitching well. Look at Aaron Harang again. Really, is he going to pitch that well for his entire season?
But listen, last year I picked up Jeremy Guthrie early for whatever reason I liked him. And I got, I would guess, a month and a half of good production out of him. So I'm not sitting here thinking McHugh's going to be great for the whole season and I just picked up some sleeper, but there are some times – I wish I had picked up Aaron Harang a few starts ago.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess I did too, though. I have to – I guess I did too. I guess I go about doing my ad drops a little differently, and I thought, I never even had a decision to make with Harang, but that's probably because he was already picked up.
But you know what I'm saying, Scott? It's
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I have a couple thoughts here.
All right.
And I'm not sure the best way to go with them. I guess I'll start with, are we all buying into Jesse Chavez still?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know.
I wasn't buying into him when he was pitching well, so.
I have no idea.
All right. So we got Chavez, we got Harang, and now we're adding Colin McHugh to the mix.
Right.
What are the chances even one of those guys maintains,
Yeah, 33%, right?
I would say less than
that.
NBA. they're all the wrong side of their prime, and I think McHugh's almost 30, right?
I don't know. I'll look for it.
I think he's 29. And I've never, well, Harang had did stuff a long time ago, but you know, we haven't seen anything good from them in recent history in the majors to lead us to believe this is legit. In Chavez's case, we can point to the changed arsenal, adding the cutter and all of that.
Huge development here.
What?
Not only is Colin McHugh only 26 years old, but he shares the same birthday as me.
That's why you did
Now I'm going him over Roark.
Same year? Oh, no, that's same year. You're
three years earlier. So it'll be 27 on my birthday.
All right.
So we have that. We don't really, we still haven't figured out what's going on with Rang. We don't really have anything to point to with McHugh. So I'm going to remain skeptical. What I'm curious about, Adam, is because you were adding McHugh, I was adding Josh Beckett.
Oh, I know.
Probably in those
call.
Same leagues. And, like, Beckett, it was just, I mean, last year he was getting drafted in the middle rounds. He was only a year removed then from an ERA under 3. Really good Josh Beckett season.
Yeah.
And he's off to a great start, not giving up hits, getting a lot of strikeouts.
No, if I could do it again, I think I'd pick up Beckett. I was out of town this weekend, so it just was one of those things where, like, when I sat down to do my waivers, like, McHugh was fresh on my mind. Beckett just hasn't pitched deep into games except for his last start. So that was a little bit of a red flag for me. I've watched a couple of Beckett starts, and I thought he looked more or less like Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
Just wasn't necessarily able to do it into the sixth inning.
Right, but I mean, coming back from surgery and you know,
he'll be on the DL.
Didn't begin the season on time. Right, but I'm just saying, like, obviously he's injury prone. Who's the better gamble? And I feel like it's Beckett. I feel like there's a much clearer reason to believe this is legit.
Let me throw Roark back in here. Would you rather have Beckett or Roark?
I would rather have Beckett in Roto.
Okay.
Probably Roark in head-to-head.
How about you?
I think I'm going to go with Roark just because I think Al Melker is finally convincing me, like, he's the real deal. He's going to keep his rotation spot.
Yeah.
No. Well, I can't imagine he's not going to keep his rotation spot, but...
Taylor Jordan's been terrible.
It's two good games in a row now for Roark. Last one before this one against the Padres, who don't have Chase Headley, who was terrible anyway. 6 2/3, 7 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts against the Angels, so... I don't know. At some point, it's like, I don't care if I don't like him. I could be 100% wrong. I got to pick him up. But then there was Ian Kennedy, who was another guy who I already picked him up for his 2-start week, and I actually sat him.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't that confident. But now I'm wondering, do we need to be more confident about Ian Kennedy, who's 63% owned and struck out 9 Nationals as a 3.16 ERA and a strikeout per inning?
Yeah, I think you do. It was kind of an odd thing last year. He went from the Diamondbacks to the Padres, you know, great hitters park, great pitchers park, and home runs had been his biggest issue since his near Cy Young season in 2011, so you figured that would help. The numbers didn't really improve with the Padres then, but he was pretty good at Petco specifically, and now already this year, the strikeout rate is as good as is still plenty good as it's always been. The walk rate is back down again after rising a little last year. And the home runs, the main thing that sank him its last couple years with the Diamondbacks, they're down too. And I think there's good reason to believe he can finally get back. I don't know if he's going to win 21 games again, but he can get back to performing like that on a start-by-start basis and be a reliable option for you. I think he has to be added, and even more than Beckett.
And I'll say something else about Kennedy. Is you mentioned that he was okay at Petco last year. Well, his ERA right now at Petco is 5, and his ERA on the road is 1.42. So I would expect that's going to come way down, that home ERA. So he could be even better. All right, Colin McHugh then, just to wrap it up, would you rather have him or Colby Lewis?
Colby Lewis.
I think I'd rather have McHugh just because I have no confidence in Lewis whatsoever. So it's
how about Matt Harrison?
Matt Harrison, yeah.
Would you drop Ubaldo Jimenez for Tanner Roark or Colin McHugh or Ian Kennedy?
No,
I'd consider Roark or Kennedy, absolutely.
Maybe Kennedy.
All right,
but I don't think I would. I haven't made a move. I drafted him in a lot of leagues because he was one of my, you know, later strikeout source guys.
Yeah.
Haven't dropped him in any yet.
Oh, but you know who you did drop.
Who'd I drop?
Tim Lincecum.
I did drop Lincecum. After I just picked him up when somebody else dropped him last week.
So. All right, good. Well, welcome to the Dropping Lincecum Club.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some news and notes here, part one. Try to get to some emails later at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Tight show today, a lot of stuff to get to. Joe Smith is taking over for Ernesto Friere as the Angels closer. He did not have an opportunity this weekend, and it could be temporary. And Hector Rondon, this seems like speculation, but look, he's been really good. 12 and a third, 8 hits, 4 walks, 14 strikeouts, ERA under 1. Pitched the 9th yesterday in a non-save situation with Strope pitching the 8th. Who would you guys rather have, Joe Smith or Hector Rondon?
I think I'd rather have Rondon because if it is the case that he's taking over a closer, I think there's a better chance it's permanent than Smith is permanent. I think ultimately they want Friere in the role. I don't really think Smith is, while he's been fine in a right-handed setup role, I don't think he has the knockout stuff to handle the closer role. And Rondon, it is speculation, but I was completely rolling with it yesterday because Strope, we saw him pitch the 9th inning a couple times in a row when the Cubs had the 4-run lead. And then when they finally got a save opportunity, he got it, and it was terrible. Yesterday, like you said, another game where the Cubs have a 4-run lead. Strope pitched the 8th, so they weren't even considering preserving him for the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rondon came in for the 9th. He got a save earlier. He was somebody who Renteria mentioned as a possibility in the first place. And he did great, as you pointed out.
All right. Who would you rather have?
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Joe Smith just because I think we have a new, like, curse of the Cubs closer role because it seems whoever they throw in that role loses it eventually.
Except Kevin Gregg.
Yeah, I mean.
They could go out and sign him again. Yeah, he doesn't have a team.
Yeah. I just think, you know, you don't have – it's nice to be a strikeout guy in the closer role or whatever like that, but maybe you get one strikeout per outing and, you know, it's three outs, three quick outs. Who says Joe Smith can't do it?
Do you think – Mark Melancon could usurp Jason Grilli, who's on the DL with an oblique strain?
I absolutely believe that. Ever since Melancon came back from that stint in the minors when he was with the Red Sox, he's just been nothing short of phenomenal. And Jason Grilli, even when he came back off the DL last year, had some struggles. He didn't immediately get the closer's role back.
Yeah.
You know, he did pitch well in the playoffs, so I'll give him that. He proved, but he struggled at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I'm not ruling out the possibility. I think it is a long shot, though. Chris Towers, who, you know, does the basketball podcast, writes a lot of basketball content, does other stuff too, but he asked me when this happened, what should he drop Tommy Hunter for Melancon? And I said, only if you think you can get Hunter back later.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But would you drop like Kyle Farnsworth or Luke Gregerson? Farnsworth blew a save. Or I don't know if he blew a save, but he took a loss.
Yeah, it was the extra innings.
I do have Melancon ahead of both in my rankings. Yes, I would.
Yeah, it's always tough. Do you see Farnsworth keeping that job?
I can't imagine they're going to pull the hook on him so fast and put Daisuke in the role there. I mean, I think they got to stick with Farnsworth for a little bit. So, yes, I do see him keeping it.
Clayton Kershaw is going to make another rehab start this week. He could be back in Fantasy Week 6. Bryce Harper's on the DL with a thumb injury. Nate McClouth is the Washington replacement?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Not woo-hoo. Exciting.
I mean, he's had some stretches where he's been really good, but not with the Nationals so far. Chris Davis on the DL with an oblique injury. So what are the dominoes here?
Well, they called up Jamiah Weeks, and he's been DHing with Markakis playing first base.
Right.
So, you know, I guess if you need a deep middle infield option, Weeks fits the bill, but Probably not going to bother with him outside of AL-only leagues. And I think they're thinking this is going to be a shorter stay up for Davis on the DL. I did drop him a little in the first base rankings because I had him ahead of guys like Pujols and Freeman, and it's pretty easy to take them over him now. But don't think it's going to be a long-term absence.
Are you guys worried about Bryce Harper? Just, you know, this is what he does. He runs into walls, he slides into third base, he hurts himself, and thumb injuries, hand injuries in general for a hitter, just kind of annoying.
Isn't this the same thing they say with Yasiel Puig? I mean, you're really going to tone him down. I mean, they're not doing it with Brett Laurie and Toronto either. I mean, these are just guys are high intensity players, and you know, there's some drawbacks to it, obviously. But Bryce Harper is
that reason to avoid them, though.
I don't like Laurie, so I avoid him. But I would never avoid Yasiel Puig or Bryce Harper, knowing that they play it, because the potential is so high for these guys.
Right, but it's high for. I mean, this is might be irrelevant as part of a in-season discussion, but. I mean, you were drafting them in the second round. There's tons of potential for everybody in the second round. It just, I didn't get either of them on any of my teams, and obviously I'm not regretting it.
I didn't get Puig, but I wanted Harper, and I even said I thought he was going too low in our drafts. I thought you could argue for him to be a first-round pick if you just looked at what he did before he got hurt last year.
He was crushing the ball, man.
Yeah, he was, but I don't know. I don't regret that pick at all.
I mean, didn't Ryan Zimmerman hurt his thumb on the, I mean, similar kind of slide or whatever?
Right,
like
but everybody knows Zimmerman is risky, injuries, and he fell to like round 7 or whatever because of it. And so the damage of him missing time isn't nearly as bad as it is Harper missing time.
Well, you got to love that.
They're worried about that thumb. I mean, I think it could be, they're calling it, a sprain, but. It could be worse. It could be...
Right. Well, that sucks.
Something that keeps him out like Josh Hamilton's been out.
Well, you got to love 14-team, 5 outfielder leagues because we are starting Bryce Harper this week. Because he's
just hoping?
On. Well, we could...
Crossing your fingers?
Well, we could start Josh Hamilton.
All right.
So it's one of the two.
In podcasts, categories leagues, they're not... Sitting a guy is not such a bad idea having zeros there because they won't hurt you in certain categories, and that helps, so...
It's only batting average.
I got a few. Yeah. I got a few extra outfielders I can maybe loan.
No
you.
No trading with Scott.
Done trading with you, Scott.
What?
No. all right, we'll give you Ryan Braun.
Okay.
For your best outfielder.
He doesn't have one.
Who's my best outfielder?
Or two outfielders in the like Alfonso Soriano range.
Okay, we'll look at that.
All right, nice.
We'll look at that.
Mark Trumbo out 6 weeks. AJ Griffin could have Tommy John surgery. We should know tomorrow or soonish. Devin Mesoraco's on the DL with a hamstring strain. Brian Peña looks like we'll get more starts, but you know, play the waiver
wire. That's bummer. Bummer, dude. Yasmiel Pinto. If you need a fill-in, still highly available.
5 home runs. BJ Upton is a nerd now. Wearing new prescription glasses. He said it's going to help him see better. So we'll see about that. Jesse Crane has bursitis in his shoulder, and his return will be delayed. And Casey Jansen will not be back in the next couple of weeks, according to his manager, John Gibbons. So the closers are annoying. Hanley Ramirez bruised his thumb, but he did pinch hit Sunday, hopes to play Tuesday. Ryan Braun has a strained chest. He sat Sunday. He's going to miss the next 3 to 5 days. Ryan Braun also hit Gene Segura in the face, and he's day-to-day. He sat Sunday. That was brutal.
It was.
Anibal Sanchez is
on the DL. It was an accident. Should we point that out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's warming up.
No, really. When I read the headline the first time, I thought it said, like, intentional. Like, he smacked him in the face. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was really scary.
It's not helping your image, buddy.
Anibal Sanchez, DL, lacerated finger. That's a blister issue. Who's replacing him? Do we know?
I don't know, actually.
I think they have a few off days they can go 4-man again, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's because I know Drew Smyly didn't have the ball next to him at first, and now he does,
okay.
So that would make sense.
Do you think Yoenis Cespedes and Chinsu Chu should be sat this week?
Yes, I do. I think both Chu, and again, in a 5 outfielder league, I found a way to sit him. Already sent my lineups.
Yeah, I mean, he could end up on the DL, shouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Right.
He's getting towards that area.
Pittsburgh optimistic that Liriano is going to make his next start. He left Saturday's start with the flu. Colton Wong was sent down to AAA.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
I was surprised. I did not see that coming.
So, obviously, you're not owning. Nobody really should own him in, like, a 1 second baseman league, but middle infield league, drop or hold?
Hold.
Hold? I think you can drop him, actually. I had already dropped him even before this.
He's going to rake in AAA, and they're going to be like his confidence
is
back.
I don't doubt it, but like, why save the roster spot?
He's talking
for
about a 20, 30-team roster in rotisserie, is it right?
Yeah, 30-man
roster.
You, You drafted this guy for that spot thinking you could get a steal there. You're just going to drop him after a little bad run where, again, he could be back in a few weeks as soon as his confidence is back.
All right, what if Marcus Semien is out there? You don't pick up Marcus Semien? You probably
he didn't
need
give me that option.
Infielder.
You well, just gave
I'm
me
just
that
saying,
option.
Now you have there it. Are good that's, players what who like, you could pick up.
Well, if Derek Jeter is the best one
in
out
a
there,
30,
you
but he's in a,
no.
In a rotisserie league, what are the chances Semien is still on waivers?
Pretty good.
He's pretty
I picked him up in a couple leagues this weekend.
Yeah. Roto or at points?
Roto. I don't own him, and he's not worth owning in points right. leagues.
You got to. He's only batting like I don't know, probably around 230. Batting average has changed so much.
Yeah,
these
but
days.
See, that's
or
the thing. 230
might not. No, but I'm
if you need somebody,
not
right, yeah.
let's go lower in. Let's say because Derek Dietrich, because Rafael Furcal suffered a setback. Would you pick up Dietrich? Would you pick up Jonathan Scope?
I like Dietrich. No, I would not pick up Jonathan Scope.
Would you pick up?
You'd hold on to Colton Wong.
Listen,
would
I am
you pick
a,
up Scooter
I'm
Jeanette,
a, who's batting a, over 300.
I, yeah, I mean, I consider Jeanette, but I'm a Colton Wong.
I love.
A,
hey, he
supporter,
was on
whatever
my
you want to say.
List. I like him too.
That
but
guy,
now he's
a thumper, man. That guy,
he was doing nothing.
For being 5'9",
and
he can hit.
He's getting sent down. You drop him, and unless you're in a league with Herc, apparently nobody's going to pick him up.
Mark,
I wouldn't pick him up.
Mark Ellis is not their long-term solution, and he'll be on the DL again soon anyway with that knee injury.
I don't disagree at all. I'm just saying it's. I feel like it's a waste of a roster spot right now.
Okay, but if you're not starting him, if he's on your bench,
right.
you can make the case to hold on.
That
to
was the point, correct.
You can make a case, sure.
And if Love and Colton is Wong, Kirk doesn't want to be right. Doug Fister expected to make only one more rehab start, and Trevor Plouffe has a triceps injury, so keep an eye on that. We can do the – unless there's anything else that really stood out to you guys, we can go to the most added, most drop list. You know,
I have so many notes here.
Yeah.
It's
so going
to be hard to pick something out.
Let's go most added, most drop, because I got some notes I want to
– Joe Smith's number one. Dayan Viciedo is number two. He's owned in 61% of leagues now.
Yeah.
Franklin Morales is number three. I believe he's a two-star pitcher.
He is.
All right.
Or he was as of Friday.
Yeah, there aren't that many. Colin McHugh is number four, up from 0% to 29% owned. James Loney, number five. Tanner Roark, number six. Alcides Escobar, seven. Mark Melancon, eight. Carlos Ruiz, nine. Perhaps a Devin Mesoraco replacement. He's been hitting well. Alfredo Simon, 10. Justin Morneau, 11, and Marcus Semien, only 39% owned, is 12. Let's stop there. Anything jump out at you guys?
A couple things, because there were players either I did add or had queued up and didn't, you know, they didn't go through. Viciedo, Loney, and Alcides Escobar. I'm not as high on Viciedo as most, but in the podcast league, and when I mean the points league, so only 21-man rosters, where I just got Braun from you and I'm sitting him this week, Viciedo stood out on waivers as the best guy to add and slot over him. I think it was over like Rajay Davis, couple other guys in that range. I mean, I'm not high on him, but as hot as he is, and he is only in 25, and there is some upside there. Might be worth the gamble right now. Still only 61% owned.
I don't think it's a gamble. Al and I are both very high on him, and people on Twitter are taking it. Scott White's trying to get him to move him up in the rankings. So,
Viciedo?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm the one who added him, so ha-ha.
Yeah.
Ha-ha, Al. Beat you to it.
Al probably already owned him.
Well, no, not in that league because I picked him up.
No, not in that. But that's a three out for the league?
Yeah.
I don't want to be starting Viciedo in that league.
I think he's a changed player. You talk about...
Neither do you, obviously.
No,
he's
I
hit.
Don't.
Listen,
I'm just saying he was one of the better options on waivers.
A big tell for me always is when the guy says I'm hitting to all fields, and that makes a lot of sense to me. It's a reason why I was a big Jose Abreu guy coming into the season. I mean, I have Abreu on a lot of my teams. Thank God. I mean, he had a great April. Just the fact that guys that hit to all fields are very good hitters. Now, Viciedo's... And he's got power. You know, that was his thing coming up. So now if he's hitting all fields and he has power, there's a lot of potential there.
You dropped Dexter Fowler for Viciedo?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would. Man, I need to make sure my rankings reflect that. Not sure they do. They're pretty close, though.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, so Loney, if you'll remember, he hit like 320 with 8 home runs in the first half last year and really fell off in the second half, but he's hit for average before, and in that lineup, and in the past, it's always led to RBI. So in a couple leagues where I needed a corner infield and was down in batting average, he was somebody I looked at. Alcides Escobar is a potential substitute for Jean Segura this week. He's been hot recently and was actually my start at shortstop in the start-sit hitters column, partially because of a lack of alternatives, but that applies here too, picking him up off the waiver wire. If nothing else, when he's hitting, you know he also runs, and that matters in roto leagues when you have a middle infield spot to fill.
But you're picking Escobar up because he's hot, not because you think he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, but, I mean, 2 years ago, he did hit for a good average and stole 30-plus bases, right?
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, so it's – I think we rushed to call that a fluke instead of last year the fluke, and I guess I'm still leaning that direction, but we don't really know.
293 with 35 steals.
Yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah, 331 on base, 390 slugging. Obviously not going to get you power, but right now he's doubling fairly well.
You know, they've been talking about Escobar for years. That he's going to break out like he did in the minors, and I'm still waiting on it, and I'm not confident.
2 years ago, he was great.
I mean,
as long as you're not expecting power. I mean, yeah. 293 batting average, 35 steals. Obviously, Elvis Andrews is in a better lineup, but is that really that different from him?
Well, the runs. I mean, he only scored 68 runs that year.
That's what I mean, different lineup.
And Elvis Andrews, right, doesn't hit at the bottom of the lineup.
Right, so that would be the big difference.
The only one I just want to talk about is Franklin Morales. To me, hopefully I get this right, he's last week's Kyle Gibson, where, you know, Kyle Gibson went as a two-star pitcher, everyone picking him up, but it was a big week for Kyle Gibson, and, you know, he didn't really meet expectations. Morales, you said it earlier, his starts have come against the Giants and Padres, and you take out, you know, I want to see how he does outside his comfort zone and familiar territory in the NL West. I think this is a huge week to see if Franklin Morales is really the real deal or not.
Now, speaking of Kyle Gibson, by the way, he is a two-star pitcher this week.
Oh, okay.
But they got rained out.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Right.
So
right.
He got moved. He was supposed to be a
right. Exactly.
Pitcher.
But in his first start, he was terrible. Terrible.
So what do you think? Should we start him?
There's not many too much star pitchers this week. And he's got RP eligibility. Is that correct? Yeah. So I mean,
I don't think.
Oh,
he does.
I thought you mean Morales. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, Gibson.
He's on our team, Herc. It's either going to be him or like a one start Henry Mejia at Colorado.
Yeah, I could see he was going Gibson.
Yeah, I think so. Right. And over a two-star Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah, Odorizzi's been really disappointing.
At the White Sox and at the Yankees.
Now, White Sox are...
He's going to
get clobbered. I don't know. The Yankees only scored 3 runs last night.
That is true. That is true. They're a little, maybe a little cold. But they won 2 out of 3, and they're 15-10,
There you go.
First place.
I know.
First place Yankees.
Yeah, a few days ago, the standings really bunched up in a lot of the divisions. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Unless I was just missing something. But I looked at the standings today, and there are a lot of teams that are opening up some leads right now. You know, you got 2 teams in the AL West, I guess, that are tied at 15-10. But the Braves opening up a lead. Brewers have been great. What's going on in the AL West?
You know, 2 of the best teams in baseball are the 2 teams whose starting rotations were most ravaged by injury this spring, the Braves and the Athletics.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess,
amazing.
I overstated it. It's just that Oakland and Texas have opened up 3.5 game leads in the AOS.
The Rockies have been
right
a surprising
now.
Team, too.
They have
that's been.
Been
a good story.
I want to look at them. I think they've been really good at home. Yeah, 8-4 at home, 6-8 on the road. Yeah. But their lineup just hasn't been that good on the road.
Speaking of the Rockies, this was one thing that stood out
to
me yesterday.
Charlie
Blackman started against the left-hander. Your guy, Hyunjin Ryu, got 2 hits. So did Justin Morneau, got 2 hits. They did still have Barnes in the lineup, but it was in place of Dickerson, who's, of course, filling in for Kadire. But it's nice to see Blackman perform when he does get the opportunity.
All right, we go a little deeper on the most added list. Gregory Polanco is now 62% owned. Josh, is there like news about that, or is it just...
No, Scott and I wrote back-to-back weeks, and people picked him up, so...
Josh Beckett, 44% now. Michael Brantley, almost universally owned. Chris Colabello, 87%. Hosmil Pinto, 39% owned. Marcus Stroman for the Blue Jays, 23% owner. Is there news there?
Yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about because the next guy on the list.
And Dallas Keuchel for the Astros. Both are 23%
yeah.
owner, two starting pitchers here.
So my thing is that the Stroman thing is that they've saying he's coming up soon, and now he's on rotation, same rotation alignment as Dustin McGowan, who everyone thinks he's going to replace. Great pitching prospect. Throws really hard. He got lit up this spring. He's got control issues. I think he's going to be a good pitcher one day. I just don't know it's immediate. Yeah. I'd rather have Dallas Keuchel. I think the people that are picking up Dallas Keuchel over Marcus Stroman are smarter just for the fact that Dallas Keuchel's producing right now, and he's going to have that step up on Stroman, in my opinion.
Now, would you rather have Dallas Keuchel or Colin McHugh?
Dallas Keuchel.
I think I'd rather have McHugh, but I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if I could find better options than both. I agree about Stroman, though. I don't think he's a prospect you need to stash ahead of time. I don't think he's... I mean, I know he's not on the level of like a Gerrit Cole or even a Zach Wheeler when we saw them come up last year. So probably this is unwarranted, the enthusiasm. Just getting back to Polanco, though, I do think he needs to be the most stashed prospect in fantasy, even over Archie Bradley now, because it's going to happen very soon. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had an impact his first year, kind of like Andrew McCutchen did when he first came up. What was the year? 2000?
Yeah, McCutchen came up in June, though. That's the thing. I don't think they're going to pull Polanco up in May. I'd be surprised.
Well, the difference is, the Pirates were rebuilding Pirates, always losing Pirates.
But even
when they called McCutchen up, now they have expectations. Now,
what about Marte didn't come up till July, though?
Well, they still didn't have the expectations they do now. Now, there's pressure to win, and they're not winning right now.
They're going to replace Adam's favorite right fielder of all time, Travis Snyder.
I think you'd be Nando's. They've already replaced them with Tabata, basically. Yeah. They have a gaping hole in right field. So what kind of player is Gregory Polanco?
Very similar to McCutchen. I mean, he just won the MVP, so maybe that's an unfair comparison. I would say ultimately somewhere in between McCutchen, because you don't assume that kind of upside for anybody, and Starling Marte, a guy who can contribute across the board like that.
But he's a power-speed guy.
Yeah, better plate discipline, and probably a better power than Marte.
All right, most drop list, Ivan Nova, Sean Kelly, Ernesto... What's dropping Yankees? What's up with that? Ernesto Frieri, Dustin Ackley, Grady Sizemore, Brad Miller. I'm sitting him, not dropping him. Only because I love Scott White, and I trust Scott White.
Oh, man. I trust Brad Miller, so the trust
any problems
flows through.
With dropping Ackley and Sizemore?
Not at all. I dropped Ackley in the one league I owned myself this weekend, and pretty much over him.
Colton Wong, Robbie Erlin, I dropped him, I think, for McHugh or Roark. AJ Griffin, Scott Feldman. Yeah, I don't. So that's the other thing with McHugh. He's replacing Scott Feldman right now. So somebody's going to have to leave that rotation. And Bo Porter said McHugh's earned another start.
Probably Peacock if it happened today.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to talk about that, we got to get to the Atlanta rotation with David Hale and what's going to happen when Mike Minor's finally ready to come back.
I don't see how it's not Hale that leaves.
Exactly.
I mean, he was amazing last time out. Really only had one bad start. What was it, two hits in eight innings or something this weekend? It was,
But he did what they wanted him to do.
Yeah.
He was a great fill-in.
Yeah, he was.
Well, so who would the other option be? Harang?
Harang. That's exactly the... Unless they want to toy with Alex Wood going to the bullpen, which would be insane.
Oh, I would be so mad.
I would, but like, I don't... Like, because of all the Chris Medlin back to the bullpen stuff kept coming, I was like, I don't necessarily trust it. I think it's like 95... if not more than that, percent chance Hale's out.
Well, they could do, and it could mess him up. But, I mean, Chris Medlin was in the bullpen, and then he joined the rotation, move Hale back to the bullpen when Aaron Herring just self-destructs, and it's going to happen. You move Hale back into the rotation. There you go.
I hope it doesn't happen. But
Are we done with Brandon Morrow?
Done with he walked eight. Just trying to think of the last time I saw a guy walk eight.
I am surprised that there were actually like a few nine walk games.
Wasn't AJ Burnett his no hitter? He walked nine when he was with the Padres.
It's possible.
So there you go, Scott.
You mean the Marlins?
Yeah,
it was Marlins. Excuse me. Yeah, it was against the Padres. Yes. Way
I don't
back
know if it was
day.
Quite nine, but it was.
Look
a lot.
It up.
Anyway, I'm never done with Brandon Morrow. But there's obviously guys you can add over him, and you should.
You know who's an interesting guy while Adam looks up A.J. Burnett's no-hitter? Jason Hamill. Because, you know, Adam was talking about Colin McHugh and incorporating sinker, and I was reading something from Jason Hamill about coming off his most recent win, and yeah. He was saying, you know, I had a pretty good sinker. That's why I succeeded. I'm still not buying into Jason Hamill, but maybe I have to look into that a little more. I mean, I was really, like, against him, but maybe there's something here. Maybe in the NL, he's just a better pitcher.
Nine walks.
All right. Do I win a prize?
You got it. You get an MBA. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And
handed those out easily, aren't we?
Who was the opposing pitcher for the San Diego Padres, and why have I never heard of him? I am embarrassed to say it.
Oh. Well.
No, I can't be that embarrassed. No, never mind. I'm not embarrassed at all.
Who is it?
His name was Oscar Serrano. Serrano. He made five starts in his career, 20 appearances, all in that season.
What's the Herc pronunciation on that one?
Wascar. You tell me.
No. You give me the how
Lasker?
You think I was.
Wascar Serrano. All right, guys. We got about 10 minutes left and 4 pages of notes. So obviously, didn't go as I planned. So tell me what you want to talk about. Let me start out with Matt Joyce. He's a top 30 outfielder right now. He walked 5 times on Friday.
I believe I said I wanted him in the podcast
league.
You
did say that. I never said I didn't.
No, we just didn't
get it. And Cameron Maben. Who would you guys rather have, Cameron Maben or Matt Joyce?
Joyce. They're both low end, though. In Joyce's case, just because he sits against the left-hander, so have to be awfully choosy about when you start him.
Okay, real quick, let's rapid fire it. Are you worried about Homer Bailey? He's only had one good start, and it was against the Cubs.
Yes.
I'm not. I think it's just early season slump.
Why, yes?
Just for the fact that, I mean, I know he put together 2 decent seasons, but I still don't think he's the pitcher he was in the minors.
Who would you rather have, Will Middlebrooks or Brett Laurie? They both homered this weekend.
Will Middlebrooks.
Laurie.
No. We're not agreeing on anything.
They're same tier, I mean.
Let's see. peanut butter cups or Snickers?
Snickers.
Snickers. You know I always pick against the peanut butter cups.
I just had to get you guys on the same page.
Overrated candy.
Kyle Seager's hot. He has 5 home runs in his last 4 games with 11 RBI. Mets outfielder Chris Young has 2 home runs. Any interest there?
No, not really.
No.
Deeper leagues.
Let's see.
Kyle Seager, by the way, was in my column of don't drop last 2 weeks ago.
Good.
But all the statistics proved he was about to turn it on, and look at it, now he's doing it.
Shelby Miller, 4 more walks. Any concerns? He's only got a 286 ERA, but 18 walks, 25 strikeouts, and 28 and a third.
Yeah, there are concerns with him just because wildness seemed to be a factor for him down the stretch last season, too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not dropping him or selling low, but I'm worried. Just wringing my hands.
Is there a more overowned player than Mark Burley at 90% owned?
Probably, but that is overowned.
Okay. Any concerns about David Price? He has a 4.75 ERA.
No. Most of his starts have been awesome. Just a couple bad ones.
Agree, Herc?
Yeah, he's in a walk year. He'll turn it on.
Strikeouts are up. That's encouraging after last year.
Who would you rather own, Garrett Richards or Danny Salazar? Salazar had a great start. Richards had a very good one as well.
Salazar. And remember, I brought up the comment after his last start about, you know, pitched great through 3 innings. Then he walked a guy and said he started thinking about his mechanics and it fell apart.
Right.
This start afterward, he said, didn't think about mechanics, just went down out there and tried to keep the ball down.
Right.
So hopefully he's over that mental hurdle and can pitch and will start pitching like we know he can.
Who I second those thoughts.
Who would you rather have, Henry Mejia or Travis Wood, Herc?
Oh, Henry Mejia.
I'd rather have Wood.
Who would you rather have?
Sorry, I think Wood is pretty good.
Mike Leake or Ian Kennedy?
I would rather have Kennedy by leaps and bounds.
In a points league.
Leaks and bounds.
I see what you did there.
In a points league, I think Mike Leake is highly underrated. I think people need to look at that. So.
All right.
Okay, who would you rather have, Josh Beckett or Matt Harrison?
Beckett.
Harrison.
Josh Beckett or Damn. Henderson Alvarez.
Beckett.
Do you have to bleep that out? Or is damn acceptable?
Okay. Okay.
What were the options again? I'm sorry. I was distracted.
Yep, you don't get to hear him again, you damn fool. Let's see. Are you done with Hector Santiago?
Pretty much.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I will be officially the last person on Earth who has faith in Hector Santiago. Who is Scott Carroll?
Nobody you really need to concern yourself with, despite the good performance. 29-year-old, getting his first shot in the majors. Mostly unimpressive minor league track record. A lot of hits, few strikeouts.
Does Tampa Bay's Cesar Ramos have deep league value?
Not really. We're in a 2014, Herc and I, 2014 Dynasty League. He's unowned in that league, and I was not interested in picking him up.
All right. And some more news and notes. Colorado signed relief pitcher Rafael Betancourt to a minor league deal. Do you think that could potentially be a closer option?
Maybe late in the season, but I think LaTroy Hawkins is the real deal.
Oh, the real deal.
Yeah.
Rex Brothers started to pitch well again. David Phelps will start Wednesday for Michael Pineda. Minnesota outfielder Oswaldo Arcia could be back soon.
And that has a lot of impact on Jesmiel Pinto because Pinto's been DHing.
Yeah. I think they could get Kubel out and be fine.
But then Willingham.
Yeah, Willingham's a ways away.
All right, good. Russell Martin's on the DL with a hamstring injury. Connor Gillespie's on the DL, so that's Gillespie is on the DL, excuse me. So that's good news for Marcus Semien. Yanhervis Solarte has a sore shoulder. Seems like he is day-to-day. And Josh Hamilton will be out another month with the thumb injury. So let's read some emails. First one is a fun one from the pages are stuck together. Tell me who it's from.
It is from Tony.
No.
No?
That's not who it's from. That's who it's addressed
to. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's from Henry Howard. Henry Howard says,
sorry.
Dear Tony, Toucan Sam, and Captain Crunch.
That's why you're hosting, and I'm sitting on this side of the table. So
I know her. Is that an appropriate spelling of Captain Crunch?
No, it's not. It's supposed to be C-A-P apostrophe yeah. N. Yeah.
Hey, Adam, I had honey, whole wheat, nut Cheerios this morning.
Really?
Honey, whole wheat, nut Cheerios?
No, you didn't hear the story from last week?
What did you call them?
I said chocolate Rice Krispies. He said
Rice Krispies instead of Cocoa Krispies. And I was like, do you have apple flavored Jacks? It's like a really stupid thing to call Cocoa Krispies.
I'm glad, though, that.
What did you have today?
Oh, nothing. I haven't eaten yet.
Oh, that stinks.
And you're going strong, man. Congratulations.
I don't usually eat breakfast. I was doing the protein bars for a while, but they were making me fat, so I stopped. They're like 1,000 calories and 20 grams of fat, so.
Just imagine how sharp you'd be on this podcast.
I know.
You did eat breakfast.
He is sharp. I think he's on
mini wheats. Get full and focused.
I had a muffin at like 10 o'clock last night, so.
That doesn't count.
Are you the muffin man?
I like to eat them when I fly because I was traveling because they put me to sleep. But it didn't work last night. All right, anyway.
Odd reactions to food you have.
Well, they're like heavy, you know?
So
they put me in like a food coma.
What kind of muffin
was it?
Big
blueberry muffin.
That was a blueberry muffin?
Yeah. Not like a little muffin here.
There's so much sugar in it.
Yeah,
you get like a sugar crash.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You get a sugar high and then you...
Okay.
That's it.
How long a flight was this?
2.5 hours. New York. All right. Here's the question from the cereal guy. while scurrying to find another DL replacement, I wonder just how bad it could be for fantasy baseball owners given the number of early season injuries to key players. So based on CBS's fantasy baseball ADPs, I found that an owner in a 10-team league could have drafted the following team. Clayton Kershaw, this would be round by round. Kershaw, Chris Davis, Adrian Beltre, or Chris Sale. Bryce Harper, Jose Reyes, Matt Latos, Mark Trumbo, Alex Cobb, Ryan Zimmerman, Josh Hamilton, Matt Moore, David Robertson, Aroldis Chapman, and Hisashi Iwakuma.
That's like the perfect storm.
Would have liked that team on draft day.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really funny. Yeah, it's been a brutal year, I guess. So, it's getting worse. That was a tough weekend. Reggie from Charlotte needs a question answered here. He says, what'd you think of the weekend performances of Jake Peavy, Dan Straley, Garrett Richards, and Ian Kennedy? Sell high or just getting started?
Oh, these people with their sell high. Just hate that term, hate that approach. But anyway.
I think Dan Straley has the most potential on this list. I think I may be the only person in here that still believes in Jake Peavy and playing for the Red Sox. So those are my two favorite on this list.
Yeah, me too. I do kind of feel like Peavy's the one that you can most sell high on just because of the name recognition.
Sure.
So something to look at. If again, go to the rankings. If you can get a pitcher ranked far ahead of him for him, then you did a good job.
Reggie says, first to be called up, Syndergaard, Kevin Gausman, or Gregory Polanco?
I think the first to be called up is Polanco.
If it is an injury, it's Gausman. If it's not, it's Polanco.
And he says, prediction, Bobcats take the next game over the Heat. Well, that'd be great. Just don't get swept, right? let's see. Michael in Oregon says, hello, Tim, R.A., and Steve, knuckleballers.
Wow, thanks for the help.
I'm in a conundrum in a 12-team 7x7 categories league. Harper and Chu are both hurt. Pineda's missing the start this week. I have Taiwan Walker and Matt Harvey on the DL. So the only player I feel comfortable in dropping is Matt Harrison. Would you recommend Chris Davis with a K, Granderson, Rajay Davis, Gierchuk, or Venable to plug in for the week?
Categories League, I'm going Chris Davis because he has been hot and we saw what he does when he gets hot.
You know, the only thing, though, he's not really that hot. He's just homering. Like, he's still striking. He might go like 1-for-4 with a homer, which is good.
He's had some multi-hit games in there.
Maybe I'd take Rajay Davis over him, but
okay.
The two Davises, pick.
Chris Davis. I mean, I'm still going Chris Davis, but I was just saying. It's like he's not tearing it up like I'd like him to be. And Dickie G says, dear Bounty, Brawny, and Scott.
Which of us is Scott?
You could be Scott.
Okay.
I was thoroughly enjoying the Devin Mesoraco ride, but I should have known this was coming sooner or later, this DL stint. 12-team head-to-head roto categories league. Just one catcher, 7x7, plus with walks and strikeouts against for batters. Need a replacement. Jason Castro, Yasmiel Pinto, Carlos Ruiz, Navarro, Pierzynski, or Suzuki. I feel like the clear choice is going to be Castro from you guys, but he strikes out a bunch and isn't really doing a whole lot else better than the rest of the group. So,
well, and I think that walks is a category in this league, that's even more of a case for Pinto, who last I checked was on pace for more than 100, even with the part-time at-bats.
He doesn't know us. I would have gone Pinto, too.
Yeah. and since it's a short-term replacement, and if it was longer-term, maybe you go Castro, but doesn't seem like it's going to be.
And we're done. Thank you guys very much. Michael Hercum, Scott White, I'm Adam Azer, Fantasy Baseball Today, the video show, live noon Eastern. We'll see you then.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka.
Pickle.